Live from EverBank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
Hey, welcome in. Everybody's waiting for the next name to come out, but it's only me today, Mike Dempsey and Tyler Davitt.
Oh, yeah.
Here with you on Jaguars Today. Oh, yeah. It's your starring moment, Tyler. It's your big opportunity.
See, I don't even have it open, but J.P. Shadrick and Duval Doom, all those guys got them.
Yeah, because you're here every day, and you're just
right.
you're the backbone. We like to call you the backbone of the operation.
I'm the John Osher of Jaguars Today.
That's true. Johnny O for Jaguars.com, Tyler Davitt for Jaguars Today. Absolutely. Keep telling yourself that. Ladies and gentlemen, Fat Tony with the day off. Oh, my goodness. Why can't we get a story like this, a ruling like this, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, Tyler, when it was really dead out there. Now we got the Jags coming back on the practice field in a couple of days. There's plenty to talk about from a football standpoint. Already we got practices going on around the National Football League, but obviously the big news in the NFL, the ruling given down by Roger Goodell in the National Football League yesterday upholding the suspension of Tom Brady at 4 games, which we expected, at least I expected. We talked about that many times on the air. We felt like Goodell was kind of pot committed to that 4-game suspension, to use a poker term as far as that goes. But then he comes out with what he felt is compelling new evidence that Brady destroyed his cell phone. Tom Brady put out a statement today on Facebook, of all places, and we'll read that statement to you coming up, and I'll kind of go through it and pick out a few points that I think are strong or weak in his argument, in his defense yesterday. His reputation's on the line. There are two things going on right now. Okay, there are two separate cases going on. Case one is the obvious. He suspended 4 games. When will he get back on the field? Will a court give him an injunction, in other words, put a stall, press the pause button on the suspension until this thing can be further adjudicated? Will he not get that injunction? Legal analysts have weighed in on both sides and are in disagreement, so I can't tell you. I'm not a legal expert, but a lot of people think that the NFL's position is a lot stronger today than it was a couple of days ago. And the second one, though, where Brady may win or lose the battle, and that will impact the second one. The second one, though, is the court of public opinion, and he took a major blow, in my opinion, yesterday in the court of public opinion, at least in my opinion. And look, do I claim to be unbiased on this? I'm just trying to be honest with you. I come at it from a standpoint of I don't want to see him play in week 3, right? I want the Jags to have every chance to win. And, you know, people can talk about, oh, you know, that you're not a competitor. You don't want to see the best out there. We want to beat the best. Well, I'd like to beat the best. If I knew they were going to beat him either way, sure, beat him with Brady. Okay, but if I don't know if they're going to beat them, I think their chances, the Jaguars' chances to win are a lot significantly higher, right, than if Tom Brady doesn't play than if he does. So, no, I do not come into this from a completely unbiased standpoint as far as that goes. And, yes, I do think the Patriots have a reputation of being an organization that breaks the rules, not just bends the rules. Spygate, they were found to have cheated. In that one, interestingly enough, Roger Goodell destroyed the evidence. Remember that? He destroyed the tapes. So no one could see just how extensive Spygate was. Maybe to kind of put a cap on that oil well fire, to blow that thing up and just tamp it down and let's just be done with it and move on. Well, in this one, it's Tom Brady claiming that his phone was broken, and, you know, I'm just a rich guy. I just get rid of these things anyway. And I get it. If you're a celebrity, you don't want certain things found on there, but the claim that they routinely destroy the phones belies the fact that he had his previous phone from that he hadn't used since last November, and that one wasn't destroyed. So, look, to me, yesterday, just a big blow to the public credibility of Tom Brady. And honestly, if this goes to court and it doesn't go his way, he get whether or not, you know, all these Hall of Fame voters are weighing in saying, oh, it's not going to impact his legacy and all this. Oh, that's fine. I think it will impact his legacy. He might not keep him out of the Hall of Fame, and I don't think it will, but it'll be branded as a cheater and in many eyes proven to be one. And you could talk about the degree to which deflating the balls or inflating the balls helps to what, you know, degree they're inflated, but you don't do it unless you think it gives you some kind of an advantage. And then, as we often have learned, since the early 1970s, that's why everything's tagged with Gate, is that the cover-up is many, many times worse than the crime. You make it, you dig yourself a hole, you try to teach your kids, yeah, the punishment's going to be a lot less if you tell the truth right from the beginning, yet it's a difficult concept to grab when you can, or grasp when you can throw a few false words out there and maybe skate by. In this case, will they be coming home to roost for Tom Brady? We'll find out. We'll discuss this coming up. Aaron Wilson going to join us from the Baltimore Sun today. And Rashad Green will join me in studio. New Jaguar wide receiver in about maybe an hour and a half, around there, hour and 25 minutes, around 11:20 this morning. Question of the day, Brady-related, but also Jaguar-related. And that is simply this. At this point, if Brady doesn't play in week three, it's not worded exactly this way, but would you expect the Jags to win? They're not going to be favored in that game regardless, going up to New England, even with Garoppolo. Right, Garoppolo is a second-year quarterback. The only thing that Blake Bortles has on him is he played 13 and a half games last year, whatever it was, and produced some pretty bad statistics, right? So he's got that going for him. But as a Jag fan, from your eyes, would that be a game that you would expect to win? Would you put that in the expected win column, as opposed to if Brady's playing? Most realistic Jag fans would say that's an expected loss. You hope for the best, but you can't expect to go in on the road and beat the defending Super Bowl champs at the height of their power. So, also today, the anniversary of the Jags on the field for the first time, the Hall of Fame game back in 1995. We'll highlight that a little bit later on as well when they took on the Carolina Panthers. So, we're off and running. Mike Dempsey here. If you'd like to weigh in, 641-1010 is the number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. You can tweet me at MD_1010XL. You can tweet Tyler at 1010XL Tyler and weigh in on today's question of the day, which is simply this. Would you expect, if Brady doesn't play, would you expect the Jaguars to win that Week 3 game versus the New England Patriots? So, a lot to do today. Glad you're along with us. Just getting started. Jaguars today rolling on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We're live at Everbank Field. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Robert Kraft just got done holding a press conference up in New England. Belichick talking now. I think Belichick's going to say, probably about it is what you're going to get out of him. Didn't Belichick run away from this whole thing back in February, whatever? Well, you're going to have to ask Tom. Tom knows how he likes the Baltimore fan. I don't know. Got to go.
We're on to Seattle.
We're on to the next thing. But didn't he? I kind of threw his hands away. Hey, you got me on Spygate. Okay, this one's not mine. Ask Tom. And Belichick has successfully distanced himself. Nobody puts Belichick in the crosshairs on this, which is interesting for a guy who's, reported or reputed at least to know everything that goes on in that organization. You can't know everything that goes on. But regardless, Robert Kraft, among the things he had to say today at his press conference, he's steamy. He apologized to Patriot fans for surrendering to the league in May. He says he thought it would help the process, but he now says he was wrong. Quoting Kraft, "I was willing to accept the harshest penalty in the history of the NFL for an alleged ball violation because I believed it would help Tom." Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Didn't Robert Kraft tell us at the time that he did this because he felt it was in the best interest of the league and he was being a good partner? And everyone said, no. There's he's trying to curry favor with the National Football League. He's trying to get Tom's sentence reduced. No. I'm a good partner of the National Football League, and we have to respect the office of the commissioner, even if I disagree with the findings. So all that was BS. Okay? I guess that was all BS from Robert Kraft. So moving on, Kraft also called out the league for leaking a report to ESPN about 11 or 12 balls being 2 PSI under the threshold and not correcting that report. That is, if the NFL... See, I don't know who leaked that report. Who did that? Did Roger Goodell do that? You know what I mean? I mean, there are people who work in the Jaguar organization. Are they NFL? Is that an NFL source? I mean, there are different people here. If I talk to the person at the front desk, they work for the organization. Is that a team source? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know where that source came from. Was this an orchestrated thing to try to muddy the waters and try to put a false number out there? I don't know if it's that nefarious or not. But I would be upset about that, too, if I were Kraft, to be fair. Let's see. Man, the screen is tiny, Tyler. I complain about the big screen that's slow. Now I've got the small screen that's fast. Let's see. There are those in the league office, says Kraft, who are more determined to prove they were right rather than admit any culpability. This was never about what was fair or just. I was wrong to put my faith in the league. So you're wrong because you didn't get the outcome that you wanted, right? Because the league didn't rule in your favor. You're wrong to put your faith in them. So clearly they're not worthy of faith if they rule against you, right? Because you, your organization couldn't have done anything wrong. In fact, Tom Brady said it himself in a statement this morning on Facebook. Says, I am very disappointed by the NFL's decision to uphold the four-game suspension against me. I did nothing wrong, and no one in the Patriots organization did either. Oh, wait, so Tom went from not knowing the name of these guys who handled the footballs to now knowing that these guys would never do anything wrong, nor did they do anything wrong. He knows what went on in that bathroom with the ball attendant. I mean, so now he's speaking on behalf of the entire organization. No one has ever, in fact, it's the most squeaky clean organization. They've never been accused of wrongdoing. Never have there been, has there been a Spygate controversy. Never have there been myriad whispers behind the scenes of the Patriots tampering with the electronic game day communications on the sidelines of visiting teams. No, no, those things have never happened. Never. Constantly, yes, have they pushed the rules like they did against Baltimore with the formation with Edelman, that the NFL now has changed the rule and you're no longer allowed to do what the Patriots did? Do they find loopholes? I'm sure they have. But in finding loopholes, do they at times cross the line? Well, they've been proven to. Spygate is, look, they lost a first-round draft pick. Bill Belichick got fined an astronomical amount of money. The NFL decreed that they cheated, and then they destroyed the evidence because they didn't want us to know how extensive the cheating went on. Because they don't want, I think, hey, look, let's not focus on this because it's going to, ultimately, are we going to get to the point where we're saying it's marring the outcome of the season? Are we questioning the validity of these Super Bowls? And the NFL can't have that. So they march on. So they decide, in this case, for instance, let's drag our feet and let's make sure this penalty, if it hits Tom Brady, impacts the 2015 season. It's not going to impact our high holy Sunday of Super Bowl Sunday, right? This was Tom Brady. We got the cut from him. This was Tom Brady way back. When was this, Tyler? Back in February, right? Was this before the Super Bowl when he was asked
if
he had cheated or not? He was asked point blank, have you cheated? Here was his answer.
I don't believe so. I mean, I feel like I've always played within the rules. I would never do anything to break the rules. You know, I believe in fair play and I respect the league and everything that they're doing to try to create a very competitive playing field for all the NFL teams. It's a very competitive league. You know, every team is, you know, trying to do the best they can to win every week. You know, I believe in fair play and you know, always believe in it for as long as I'm playing.
I believe in that, and I also believe I didn't cheat. I believe I'm not a cheater. I believe I'm not a cheater. Somebody asks you, are you a cheater? Do you not defend yourself a little bit more vigorously than that?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't believe so. You can break the rules and not be a cheater. We know that, right? Like, for instance, I'll give you a for instance. Let's say in baseball, right, you purposely try to line up with your back foot outside the batter's box. You're not allowed to do that. You're trying to gain an advantage by having that 1 millisecond longer to see the pitch before it gets to your hitting zone, right? That's the reason a lot of guys do that. They'll back up so they have a little bit more time to pick up the spin on the pitch and all those things. If you're deliberately doing it, that's trying to circumvent the rules. You're trying to cheat. Now, if you just happen to line up in the wrong place, well, maybe you're breaking the rule, but it comes down to intent, right? So Tom Brady knows whether or not he intended to cheat. I don't understand I don't believe so. You either did or you didn't. You could break a rule and not be a cheater. You foul somebody in basketball, doesn't make you a cheater. It's against the rules to foul somebody. There's a penalty for it. You pay the penalty and you move on. But it doesn't make you a, quote, cheater. Tom Brady going on in his Facebook dissertation today, and he says, to try and reconcile the record, I'm skipping ahead here. Skipping ahead even further. I authorized the NFLPA to make a settlement offer to the NFL so that we could avoid going to court and put this inconsequential issue behind us as we move forward into this season. The discipline was upheld without any counteroffer. I respect the commissioner's authority, but he also has to respect the CBA and my rights as a private citizen. I will not allow my unfair discipline to become a precedent for other NFL players without a fight. He was upset about the phone being turned over. And he says that, you know, the phone, we exhausted every possibility to give the NFL everything we could and offered to go through the identity of every text and phone call during the relevant time. Regardless, the NFL knows that Mr. Wells already had all relevant communications with Patriot personnel and either Mr. Wells saw or that I was questioned about in my appeal hearing. There's no smoking gun, blah, blah, blah. He goes on and on. He talks about precedent and his rights as a private citizen. Well, so you give up some of those rights when you sign a collective bargaining agreement, when you agree to work under those conditions. And if one of those conditions is you have to cooperate with league investigations, does he have to turn over his phone? No, there's no penalty of law, but there is a penalty of consequence in his employment status based on the conditions he's working under. And he signed off on that, and he agreed to that. Now, is there a limit to that? I don't know. But he also said, you know, we only switched out phones. I had a broken Samsung. I got a new iPhone 6. We only switched out phones after my attorney said already informed Mr. Wells he would never get my phone under any circumstances. Well, I don't know a lot about the law, but I was reading this yesterday. And where he may get hung up here in federal court is, I think it's called spoliation or spoilation. I think it's spoliation, but it's about spoiling evidence. Okay, if there's a reasonable assumption that a disagreement, a dispute, will go to court, you are, no matter who will bring the lawsuit, you as a defendant or you as the accuser, that you are under legal obligation to maintain anything that could be construed as evidence in that. And clearly at the time, there was a reasonable expectation that this thing would ultimately end up in court for Tom Brady. Look, again, I'll let the legal scholars battle it out. My standpoint right now, I'm sorry, it's way too coincidental. If, again, we're getting all the facts straight. We did have that report about the PSI that was off early on, so maybe the timing of when he got the new phone, that report is off as well. I would have think that Brady would have corrected it, but regardless, on or about May 6th when he met with the Wells investigators the first time around is when he destroyed that phone. So, no, you can't have it, and if this ever gets down the line to someone who has the authority to subpoena it, they're not going to have it either because I just destroyed that bad boy, okay? It's a common thing I do, oh, except for the last one because that one's still around. You know, look, I'm sorry. My gut tells me Tom Brady knew. You could argue about the importance of inflating balls again. To me, it's the intent, and then beyond that, it's the cover-up. Roger Goodell equated this because people have pointed out, well, the penalty for ball deflation or overinflation is $25,000. But he's stating specifically this is more a case of like steroids with a masking agent. Okay, there are three ways you get popped for steroids that I'm aware of. You test positive for the steroid, right? You fail to show up for the test or you fail to take the test. Right? A non-test is the same as a failed test. And or you get caught with a masking agent, a known masking agent. And Roger Goodell, yesterday, in one of his statements, equated the destruction of the phone to a masking agent. He is trying to cover up his efforts to get an unfair competitive advantage on the field. And therefore, according to the standard for punishment, a first-time offender gets a four-game suspension. So he says this is right in line. So, look, here's out of everything you need to know about this situation, this may boil down to the essence right here. Goodell is ticked. He's personally ticked. He thinks that Brady lied, okay? And in the past, he's gone kind of lenient with guys or at least dialed down some of their punishments when they've been contrite, when they've accepted their guilt, admitted their guilt. But in this case, knowing that this thing, that Brady is dug in, and all the reports are he's going to go to the wall. The reason we had such a delay is because the legal team was crafting that 20-page thing to withstand as much scrutiny as possible. And then the capper on this whole thing is that the NFL filed suit in federal court in New York yesterday basically to have the finding upheld. Okay, I forget the exact term for that, but it's in one of my many notes here. But they filed a suit that... it's a procedure called a declaratory judgment. They want that federal court to rule in it, their judgment that this is an acceptable arbitration finding and therefore preempt and defuse any attempt by Brady to challenge it in court. So in other words, they're trying to select the venue in New York because the players have had success suing the league in the state of Minnesota with Judge Doty up there. And so by preemptively filing They're trying to say, we're going to contest this on the grounds where we think we're strongest. Well, the fact that they had that thing ready to go the second that they released this, I mean, they have been preparing for the court battle. You think Tom Brady's dug in for the long haul? The NFL has dug its heels in on this, and they're not going to let him off easily at this point in time. He is going to either have to admit wrongdoing or prevail in a court of law at this point, and the NFL thinks it has its ducks in a row. I don't know. I've heard legal experts on both sides say that one side or the other has the better chance of gaining the advantage. So I don't know. But, again, you can weigh in on the impact potentially on the Jags. Does the game in Week 3 go from, I hope we can hang in there and maybe steal one, to I expect to win this game if Tom Brady is not suiting up for the New England Patriots when the Jaguars head to Foxborough in Week 3. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Tyler, and you can weigh in on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010. The number also doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Coming up next, Aaron Wilson of the Baltimore Sun will take a look at the Ravens, the Jags' Week 10 opponent this season, and we'll get his perspective on where he thinks this thing is headed as well. Mike Dempsey here with you live at EverBank on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Straight drop, looking, rolls out, scrambles, tries to keep the play alive, fires it just deep down the middle of the field. It's going to be picked off. It was picked off by Jeremy Miles to effectively end the game. 16 seconds to play. The Ravens take over after the interception inside their 40-yard line.
Very good team, and we felt like we had to come in here and be bold and be aggressive and try to steal a couple possessions. You know, special teams, outstanding job. I know we gave up that block, you know, to get the onside and the fake. You know, we got in good field position. We just got to capture those times when we do get those good field position.
Obviously, is the highlight played. They didn't take advantage of that opportunity. Blake Bortles threw what amounted to a game-ending interception against the Ravens last year. Would be different this time around. Jags are going to take on the Ravens' ninth game of the season. Start the second half of the year. We've got Aaron Wilson, not long for the Baltimore Sun, I understand, joining us here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. First off, Aaron, I understand congratulations in order. I guess you got a new job with the Houston Chronicle. Congrats. I'm sure that's a good step in your career, and we'll look forward to talking to you about Texan football in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I'm very excited to be joining John McClain covering the Texans, and known John for 18 years and just been a great friend and mentor to me. So, yeah, excited to join him down there, and yeah, it's a opportunity I wasn't expecting and just came up very quickly, and my head's still spinning. I just got back from Texas to rent an apartment, and now I'm going to be at the Ravens training camp in a couple of hours, and it's going to cover about the first 5 days of camp before I get started down there. And, yeah, it's a lot to take in, but yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, don't start any of those long-form stories that are going to play out over a couple of weeks, right?
Not right now.
Some quick hitters.
I think I'll be doing those quick hitters, little notebooks. A few easy stories, that kind of thing.
Let me ask you, as a guy who not only covers the Ravens, but you cover the National Football League at large as well, what was your reaction to yesterday's and continuing into this morning's latest news on the Deflategate saga?
I just think that the Patriots are so tone-deaf on this thing. They made it so much worse than it had to be. Obviously, the league, they're not perfect in this. They're trying to, out-lawyer Tom Brady and the NFL Players Association and by filing the preemptive thing in New York court, hoping that that'll be a little more favorable to them than the Minnesota courts that are more labor friendly. But yeah, when I look at this whole thing, if Tom had just told the truth, and I think everyone really has to conclude that he lied, and it was really unnecessary. If he had just said, I made a mistake, I didn't know we couldn't do that, and I think people would have bought anything if he had just owned up. But to destroy your phone, and the timing of it, right before you're going to talk to the investigators, it's just so suspicious. And then you didn't follow the practices you said you follow. You had no explanation for why you didn't destroy at least one other phone. I can understand him not wanting people to see his text messages or his photos or any of his family stuff or who knows, whatever, private things he does not want people to see. And I can respect that. You know, the NFL also needs to understand a little bit, they are not a court. They don't have subpoena power over this man's text messages. I mean, there's got to be some kind of balance struck here. What I feel like should have happened it didn't happen. He didn't own up, and now he looks extremely guilty. And I know that Robert Kraft just blasted the league, and yeah, they can complain all they want, but this thing is not going away. I'll be surprised if any court, when they hear destroying of potential evidence, however innocent he wants to say it was, and that he was willing to put him in touch with people who would send their text messages, and I think at that point Roger was just fed up. And I do think that a mountain's been made of a molehill here, but the cover-up's always worse than the crime. And Tom Brady, he got terrible advice, or either that, or he came up with this on his own. It's just ridiculous. And I think he's tarnished his legacy much more than he needed to. All he had to do was just say, hey, that's why I like the football. I didn't know we weren't really supposed to be doing that. Yeah, I think we understand that's not right. I think he wouldn't have been suspended. They would have fined him.
Right. It would have been a $25,000 fine, that which you originally saw, and Goodell yesterday, without going too far down this road again, equated it to a suspension for steroids, changing the integrity, the level playing field, and equated the destruction of the phone to using a masking agent to try to cover up your use of a performance enhancer. So we'll see how it all plays out. Obviously, down here in Jacksonville, we have a particular interest because the Jags go up to New England in week 3. So selfishly, we're probably rooting for the league on this one. I got to be honest with you, Aaron. Aaron Wilson, soon to be with the Houston Chronicle, now with the Baltimore Sun. Last year, the same New England team, the Ravens had him, we thought, dead to rights in the postseason. Did they walk out of that game thinking, and after watching the postseason play out, that should have been us hoisting the Lombardi Trophy last year?
Yeah, and they feel like if they had healthy secondary, they would have been there. They would have at least been in that big game, and they feel good about their chances if they get there. They've never lost a Super Bowl. And you look at that game, and Tom Brady found the guy to go after, Rashawn Melvin, who probably a lot of your listeners don't know, but he was a reserve corner that had to start. And he got picked on, and this was the time he got exposed, and they just found him all the time. I think it was 15 catches on him and 2 touchdowns. So about as bad as you can play. And not that he was supposed to be a great corner. It was because Jimmy Smith was out for the year. Lardarius Webb had a bad back. They lost a bunch of other corners to season-ending injury. So, yeah, I think if you give them even an average secondary, yeah, they would have advanced. And now Jimmy Smith and Lardarius Webb are back, but rarely have they played a full 16 games in their careers. So odds are someone's getting hurt again. They feel like they have some decent reinforcements. They brought in Kyle Arrington from the Patriots, and hoping that he'll be a pretty good pickleback.
You look at this team, there are a lot of Jaguar connections for us down here. We saw Daryl Smith go up there a couple years ago. Obviously, Justin Forsett had a career season last year and is maybe poised to do it again this year. My question to you is about Eugene Monroe at left tackle. It's tough for me to evaluate offensive line play, particularly on a team that I don't cover on a regular basis. Can you tell us, in your opinion, how well or not has Eugene Monroe fared for the Baltimore Ravens?
I think overall, he hasn't played great football. I don't think he's played the way he knows he can play. And some of that had to do with some health issues last year. He had arthroscopic knee surgery. I just don't think he was himself, and he hurts his ankle. When he's played on a consistent basis and been healthy, he's played solid football. I think Eugene's a good guy and a hard worker, and he's vowed to have a better season this year. He needs to. They signed him to a 5-year, $37.5 million contract last year, so they're expecting a lot out of him. And it's a situation where, I could see a change being made if he doesn't have a great season.
We look at Breshad Perriman, first-round pick of the Ravens this year. I spoke with you probably about a month ago on Sirius, and you mentioned Kamar Aiken is the guy really to keep your eye on, that he had dominated in spring. We saw more reporting about that yesterday. What kind of impact do you expect Perriman to make as a rookie? We saw all these guys come in last year and make such a big one across the National Football League. Most people, I think, saw Perriman as a little bit more raw than some of the guys like Odell Beckham Jr. and Mike Evans coming into the league last year.
Yeah, absolutely. When I look at Breshad, I think this morning it works with personnel, and he said, I think you guys are being a little too hard on Breshad with, the consistency thing. And, he's caught a lot better than you guys have said. And I said, there's some drops. And there were some days that when it was open, that's when, he would drop them. I don't know. You don't see every single practice of the spring. to be able to make that determination. But I like the fact that if he did drop one, he'd catch a bunch of the next ones, and just occasionally have his concentration lapses on easy ones and the routine catches, and he'll make the tough catches. Rashad is a outstanding talent, and I wouldn't be surprised if he catches somewhere between, you know, 7 to 10 touchdowns as a rookie.
Wow, it's pretty good, production that they can get that out of him, and obviously make Joe Flacco happy. And Aaron, what's the secret to his postseason success? Why does he seem to really? He plays well in the regular season, but really seems to take it to a
January
higher
show,
level
yeah.
play.
That's,
yeah, what's up with that?
Thing. Yeah, I think I'm even asking. I might even ask him that question tomorrow when we talk to Joe. Joe's one of these guys who I think he focuses more and he understands that the playoffs are important, and I think he has a sense of urgency. All those, you know, normal things, but I don't even know if he can really explain, you know, why is there a heightened focus? Why is he sharper? And you know, maybe it's just because he has to be, and he knows that, you know, and takes that on his shoulders in the postseason. I think in the regular season, he does manage the games a little too much sometimes, and they need to be more aggressive. I don't think it's always Joe holding them back. I think sometimes they hold Joe back, and there's some things they can do to, you know, go vertical a little more, because this guy, to me, he can be throwing, you know, 30, 35 touchdowns per year.
All right, Aaron, final thought for you as you look at the pecking order in the AFC going into 2015. For what you know right at this moment, where do the Ravens stack up with the best teams in the conference?
I think they've got to be the best team in their division, and they're not that necessarily at this moment. You know, I think that they, you know, when you look at Pittsburgh, they have a better offense. Their defense is very good. And the Ravens, they look like the wild card to me, but they need to eventually get to a point where they have the home field, I think, to get back to a Super Bowl. But yeah, it feels like a playoff team to me.
All right, Aaron Wilson, now on Twitter, at @AaronWilson_NFL, formerly at Ravens Insider. We know you do a great job covering the Texans. We hope
you
cover many, many losses to the Jacksonville Jaguars over your
career. It could happen,
yeah.
You got Blake Bortles, Aaron,
That's right, baby. We got Blake. You got his pass catcher in Brashad up in Baltimore, and you got our former wide receiver Cecil Shorts to cover now out there in Houston.
I heard, I've only met Cecil on the talked to him on the phone when he was coming out of Mount Union, but he seemed like a great guy, and yeah, I'm sure just
Cecil's phenomenal, man.
Cecil playing and everything.
Yeah, I think Cecil's a phenomenal guy. You're going to love him as a guy. Great work ethic, great personality, you know, everything you'd want in a football player. His knock has been health, right? He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think it's a good competition with he and Nate Washington in there. I don't think Jalen Strong, to my eyes, would probably win that starting job opposite, why am I drawing a blank?
Hopkins
on the other side. Yeah,
pretty good, yeah.
I think it's a two-man battle between Shorts and Washington. I'm sure you'll see it the same way. And
I think
he's got a fighting chance, but he's got to be healthy throughout the month of August, so we'll see.
Yeah, looking Aaron, forward to covering your guy. And, we didn't talk about Darrell, but I tell you what, he has just continued to be the same. He just keeps rolling.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah.
He is amazing. Good guy. Buck. Yeah.
Yeah. Darrell Smith is the one guy in this regime's tenure here with Dave Caldwell, GM, that's the one that everybody unanimously feels like he let get away. He himself said, you know, that's the one guy probably leaned a little bit too much on youth when we let him slide, because the Ravens didn't sign him right away that offseason. You know, he sat out there for a little while, and
they
got a hell of a bargain.
Not lose a comp pick. They waited all the way till June. He was healthy the whole time. They
love their comp picks, don't they, up
they
there?
They love
in
the comp picks. They think it's the secret. Best example recently is Pernell McPhee, comp pick, fifth round. Now Chicago Bear, 5 years, $39 million,
right?
7.5 sacks last year.
Hey, something's working because they're consistently in the postseason, man. Hey, Aaron, again, seriously,
nice
congrats on your future, man. Nice talking to you as well.
Buddy. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Aaron Wilson, right now with the Baltimore Sun, soon to be covering the Texans in the division for the Houston Chronicle with a look at the Jags' ninth opponent of the season. All right, coming up next, we got this date in football history and the drive around the NFL. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey here with you live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Let's start with 1986 when a New York jury ruled the NFL had violated antitrust laws. Well, that sounds ominous, doesn't it? Ooh, that must be a severe penalty coming. Well, the United States Football League was the recipient of the damages, which were one single dollar, later trebled, as they like to say. I don't know why they don't say tripled, but they don't. So there you go, $3, USFL. And if you watch the 30 for 30 on the United States Football League, I think that check is still floating around out there, uncashed. So I don't know, with interest, maybe $3.17 for the United States Football League. Back in 1995, though, let's not bury the lead. Jags, Carolina Panthers, Hall of Fame game, first ever exhibition on the field. Jags come up short in that one, but you know what? The Panthers are the Panthers, and we're the Jaguars here in Jacksonville, and we win simply because of that, all right? But 1995, first time you got to see the Jags on the field. I'm sure some in our listening audience were in attendance in that game. Born on this date in 1964, Pepper Johnson, longtime linebacker, primarily known for his time with the New York Giants, couple time Pro Bowler, and one time first team All Pro. And happy birthday, Jonathan Cyprian. Sip turns 25 today, born on this date in 1990. This date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. Repairs, re-roofs in your home or your business. Make it First Coast Roofing. License number CCC056797. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, obviously, all the talk lately has been about Tom Brady not getting his suspension reduced. Well, Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell did get his reduced from 3 games to 2 as a result of a settlement between the NFL and the Players Association. Bell was suspended in April for his August 2014 arrest on DUI and marijuana possession charges. You'll remember Bell and his then-teammate LeGarrette Blount were arrested while driving to the airport for a preseason game. Two good stories medically coming out of the NFL world. Safety Eric Berry has been cleared medically to practice with the Kansas City Chiefs about 8 months after being diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Berry will be joining the Chiefs quarterbacks, rookies, and players with recent injuries who report to camp today. The Chiefs begin their full training squad camp on Saturday. And finally, Cincinnati Bengals defensive tackle Devon Still got some more good news regarding his young daughter Leah, who was informed last night by doctors that recent tests to detect cancer in the 5-year-old came back negative. The cancer she overcame in late March remains out of her system, and she keeps battling the serious disease that was diagnosed last June.
See, we can have nice things. Leah Still and Eric Berry doing well. That's good to hear on both of their counts there. And you're right. Boy, was that the most under the radar? Almost like Le'Veon Bell's representatives were like, I see what's going on over here. Why don't we work out an agreement here? Let's just chop one off the top, NFL, right? Knock this thing down to 2. Nobody's even going to pay attention to whether or not it should be reduced from 3 to 2 if we do it at the right time.
I think that news was like released, what, like an hour after the Brady one was as well, too, correct?
I actually it was right about the same time that it came. Oh, well, the news of Brady's suspension being upheld came out first, but the news... When I call it news, because Stephen A. Smith reported that he was, quote, hearing that Brady had destroyed his phone, and he was mocked unmercifully, particularly by Pro Football Talk on that, where Florio said he was speaking out of an orifice, not his mouth, and then it turned out that he was right. But, you know, Adam Schefter put his name on it on, I think it was NFL Live yesterday, and that's kind of when it took root, I think, that this is really the position of the National Football League. And then as we saw the report come out, obviously it was backed up there. Let me say the one red herring in this whole situation that people talk about, they say, oh, it's going to be really interesting. Because keep in mind, the Patriots have a bye in Week 4, okay? Let's say the 4-game suspension is upheld. Well, in Week 5, they play the Cowboys, but that would be the 4th game for the Patriots. So Greg Hardy's suspension would be up, and he would be on the field. And Brady's suspension would still be ongoing, and he wouldn't be on the field. And everyone says, well, this is the most ridiculous thing. Greg Hardy, what he did is clearly worse than what Tom Brady did. No one's going to argue that. Domestic violence is worse than, ball inflation or deflation as a crime against humanity, certainly. I mean, in terms of the integrity of the game, you could argue that. But who cares? Does anyone say, well, I mean, Josh Gordon, are you kidding me? Suspended for a year. Because basically he had a drink on a plane in violation of the NFL's imposed prohibition against that because he was in the drug policy, the drug program. They said he couldn't drink, and he wasn't even aware of that. So he had a couple of drinks on a plane, and that's why he's kicked out of the league for a year. Well, you tell me what's worse, what Josh Gordon did or what Greg Hardy did. So everyone uses the example of Greg Hardy comparing it to Tom Brady because they're both four-game suspensions. Well, we've discussed this in the past. A lot of times, lesser crimes get harsher sentences. Is it fair? No, it's not fair, but it is what it is. And to say that Greg Hardy's suspension should have any bearing on Tom Brady's, I don't think is relevant. They're two different, you know, chapters, two different avenues of wrongdoing, if you accept that they both did wrong. And so for the fact that his, quote, sentence may end up equal, and they say, well, the NFL feels like this is just as bad because they gave Hardy four games. No, they gave him 10, and it got reduced to four games. And, you know, Josh Gordon, he's out for a year. Is what he did worse? I mean, you could look at Justin Blackman, but you could argue, well, getting behind the wheel of a vehicle, because DUI had been involved along the way, you know, under the influence, you're taking someone's life into your hands. Well, Le'Veon Bell was doing that, wasn't he? I mean, you know, I don't think, personally, marijuana is any worse than alcohol. However, you shouldn't be driving under the influence of any of that stuff. So he should, to me, I'm surprised he did get it knocked down a game. And I almost wonder if the NFL is just fatigued enough to say, hey, really, you're willing to not fight this? If we knock a game off the top, we still get to punish you, and you can be reasonable about it, and we don't have to take another one to court. All right, let's get on with it. But you look at that first game of the season. Le'Veon Bell will not play. Pittsburgh versus New England. LeGarrette Blount is suspended for the same incident, because he was in the car with him when he played with Pittsburgh, and that's when Pittsburgh released him. The Patriots picked him up. He's suspended for the first game of the season. So the two starting tailbacks are out, and now potentially the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. And too bad, you know? Don't do things that get you suspended. It's not the league's fault, in my opinion, in this case. And, you know, again, am I the most unbiased on this one? I admit that I'm not. But doesn't matter what I think, ultimately. Doesn't matter what any of us think. What matters is where the courts go with this now. And the league, as Aaron Wilson pointed out, as I pointed out prior to that, made that quick move yesterday. As soon as that report was out, boy, they had something ready to go for a declarative judgment in a federal court in New York. In other words, they're asking a judge to say, yes, rubber stamp our finding, and just say that it was done properly. It's basically the other side of the lawsuit if Brady had said, challenge that finding. Right? It still serves the same purpose. It ends up in court, and a judge rules on it one way or the other, but what it does is it, the NFL hopes, blocks Tom Brady for trying to file that in a less advantageous jurisdiction to the National Football League. How about Rashad Green? Want to talk to him? He's coming up here in just a few minutes. Jaguar wide receiver out of Florida State. Will he be in the mix for the punt return job? Will he be in the mix? How much will he be in the mix? And what has he done this summer working with Blake Bortles and some of his teammates? How has he acclimated himself to the National Football League on the eve, practically, of his first training camp as a professional football player? Rashad Green will join us coming up in a moment. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, you name it. Same-day service, weekends included. MetroRooter.com or 695-1911. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. Coming up next, Rashad Green of your Jacksonville Jaguars sits down with us here live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Oh, there's a Deflategate joke in there somewhere, but I'm not going to go after it. Blake Bortles talking about Rashad Green, new member of the Jaguar wide receiver corps. He'll be with us in about 2 minutes here on Jaguars Today in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios as he gets ready 2 days away from his first training camp. He's fired up. See the Jags on the field. All you season ticket holders can get out there, of course, on Friday, 9:55, practice open up, go till just about noon. And, of course, throughout the course of the weekend, then Monday at Mandarin High School, you'll be inside a week at that point from the scrimmage down here at Everbank the following Saturday. And week after that, it's preseason time. They're out on the field. They're playing football. And on we go at that point in time. I'm getting an update.
Hey, Mike, speaking of football.
Joe Fortunato. Nice, Joe.
Football. Dwayne Grotz is at the Armada practice right now. I got some video here in my Twitter feed.
Oh, you do? Does that do us any good on the radio?
No.
The video you're getting in your Twitter feed. What can you describe said video to us and make it interesting?
Looks like we got two teams with different colored jerseys kicking a ball around. That's about it.
from the way you described it, that could be soccer practice with the Ancient City Thunderbirds in the U-12 category that I coach. So not a whole lot Dwayne Grotz specific in that update, but we'll listen for more, Tyler. I'm sure it will get better from this point forward.
Riveting.
So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Robert Kraft today teeing off on the National Football League. And honestly, it's kind of funny where he said that after this, I'm not going to speak about this matter again until after the legal process plays itself out. And I would advise everyone in the organization to do the same and just concentrate on preparation for the 2015 season. And so then Belichick, who's, it was his scheduled press conference, gets up there and somebody asks him about that. And what does he say, Tyler? Something like, didn't you hear Bob?
Look at
it's
your
already
notes.
Been addressed.
Look at your
notes.
Look at
your notes. Bob already addressed that. We're not going to be talking about that at this point. Belichick probably would prefer not to have this going on at all, but I'm sure part of him is just like, man, I'm just glad it's not me.
You heard what Robert just said. It's already been addressed. Maybe you got to go back and look at your notes.
It's already been addressed. You got to go back and look at your notes because you're clearly not capable of remembering. Here's the thing. Press conferences are an opportunity for people to ask questions, and I know that a lot of people will get up there and try to preempt the asking of certain questions, but the asking of the question is the job of the reporter. And whether or not that person chooses to answer, any reporter who goes back to their paper and say, well, did you ask Belichick what he thought? Well, no, because Kraft said he suggested nobody in the organization commented. So you didn't even ask him? You got to ask the question. And, you know, so you can go back and refer to your notes all you like, and they have to put the onus on Bill Belichick to refuse to answer the question in that point in time. So that's where things stand. Where it stands is who knows. It's going to court. Will it go to court in New York where the NFL tried to get a preemptive strike done on the Deflategate punishment, or will it not? Again, I think it's two separate things here. Does the punishment get reduced? That's one story. What is the ultimate finding? Is there an injunction? Can he play this year? Will the punishment be meted out next season? Will there be any punishment? Will it be reduced in half? And then there's the court of public opinion. And in the end, as Aaron Wilson said when he came on with us earlier, Brady's either getting some incredibly bad advice or making some bad decisions on his own, because whether or not he's guilty, he's certainly creating much more of an appearance that he is. Right? And as I tweeted out yesterday, Law and Order would call the destruction of that phone evidence of a guilty conscience, and that is admissible in a court. And ultimately, will a federal judge look at that and say enough's enough, and that's enough reason to side with the National Football League? They keep talking about they're not going to retry the case. It's going to be a procedural thing. Did the NFL overstep its bounds within the collective bargaining agreement? That's going to be the basis of the attack. Is Brady still? I mean, I guess today when he said he's not done anything wrong, neither has anyone in the organization, he's sticking to the line that innocence is the best defense in this whole thing because he actually didn't do it. But that's what he says, and the NFL obviously disagrees at this point in time. Roger Goodell came out and as close to using the word liar as he possibly could. Not believable, not credible, you know, just didn't jibe, and that, I'm paraphrasing this, didn't jibe with the testimony presented from a number of other people, including the other guys, the Patriot ball boys, for lack of a better term for them, that Brady contradicted some of the other testimony and just didn't fit the logic. And other people are saying, you know what, there's no proof, there's no smoking gun. They're saying it's more probable than not. Well, it's like a civil case, right? You don't go to a civil case saying you have to prove something beyond a reasonable doubt. You say it's a preponderance of the evidence. 51% to 49%. If the 51% is in favor of he did it, then he did it. And that's all it takes. Whereas it seems to be a similar kind of standard that the NFL, if we think it's more likely that you did it than you didn't do it, you're guilty. And that's what it comes down to. There's no proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Again, everyone cites, well, it's not a court of law. They can't subpoena Tom Brady's phone. But they can compel him to assist or provide relevant information to an investigation. It's in the collective bargaining agreement. I know a lot of people are tired of this whole story. Trust me. But for the Jags, it's particularly pertinent. If the Jags weren't playing New England in week three, I mean, I think that's part of the reason I'm so interested in seeing how this whole thing plays out. Will there be an injunction? Now, Roger Cossack of ESPN thinks it's going to be very difficult for Brady to people to get that, to get a federal judge to grant that. On the other hand, you've got other legal experts saying, no, I think he's got a good case. He's got a great chance to win, because Cossack said he's got to convince a court to that even if things had gone his way procedurally, he had a more than likely chance to win, or a very good chance of winning on the merits of the case. So don't you have to present some of the merits of the case in that regard? And one of those pieces of evidence is going to be the timing of the destruction of the cell phone. So it goes. 641-1010, if you'd like to get in. We're awaiting Rashad Green, who I'm told was moments away from your Jacksonville Jaguars, moments away from joining us here, and then just a couple of days away from his first real activity as a member of the Jags during a training camp. Certainly OTAs count, but you know, the intensity gets ratcheted up now over the next couple weeks. You get some full contact practices starting next week. And, these guys are ready to roll. And then you're going to have the preseason games. It's coming up a couple weeks from today, or not from today, a couple weeks from this weekend. And on you go. And it'll be here before you know it. Tomorrow will be 6 weeks until the Patriots play the Steelers to kick off the season on Thursday Night Football as the defending champs. And a lot of the high-profile players on both sides right now, maybe not a lot, but several right now, look like they may not be in attendance for that game. We know Le'Veon Bell and Garrett Blunt won't be there at this point. Will Tom Brady be? Difficult to know at this point in time. And I think, I think in the end, Tom Brady, there could be 10 smoking guns, and Patriot fans are not going to care. I think Tom Brady could poop in a Patriot fan's living room, and they would build a shrine around it, quite frankly. I don't think they care if he cheated. And even if he did, from the arguments I've seen put forth, their argument shifts to, well, it's not that significant. Look how he played in the second half and all this. And meanwhile, you got to, pretty much everybody else in the National Football League. Either you're a Patriot opponent, hater, what have you, or you're just tired of what seems to be the Patriots getting away with stuff over the years, and you've got fatigue on that. So the battle lines are pretty clearly drawn. Let's get a call in. Christian on the line at 641-1010. Christian, you're on Jaguars Today this morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Love the show. First-time caller. I appreciate your insight about the comments on the preponderance of the evidence, 51 versus 49, because a lot of the other commentary, or at least people who are inflamed about this, they're not really taking that into account. Like you said, they're looking for the smoking gun. But with respect to the cell phone, I just had one comment. You know, now the big issue seems to be that he destroyed it. But even before he destroyed it, he refused to turn it over, notwithstanding that the leak said, we'll give you whatever safeguards you need to protect your privacy. And so, although I understand why it's so important that he destroyed it, the fact is he didn't cooperate with the investigation, and you can draw your own inferences just from that, notwithstanding that the cell phone data no longer exists.
You can. You certainly can. And, I think a lot of people have chosen to do that, that the fact that he didn't turn it over is evidence of guilt. But other people have reasonably stated that, hey, look, I'm a high-profile celebrity, or I put myself in his shoes. Who knows what I've got on there? Who knows what I'm trying to hide that has nothing to do with this? I think there are reasonable arguments on both sides. But the timing of what came out yesterday, I think, certainly, for a lot of people, is just one more nail in the coffin of public opinion. Let's welcome in Rashad Green for your Jacksonville Jaguars. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's perfect, man.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
2 days away from training camp. Have you had enough downtime? Have you had enough rest? Are you prepared and ready to go?
Yeah, I definitely had enough rest and downtime. You know, it's definitely time to play football again.
What have you been doing since the end of OTAs? Have you been working with Blake at all, the other wide receivers?
Most definitely been working with Blake, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, just all of us kind of stayed around and worked out together, just getting better, getting healthy, getting ready for this camp.
We're all ready, man. I mean, you know what? It's a long season, but we all just can never wait till it gets here. You're going to find out how long it is pretty soon, though, right? And people talk to you about that. It's not like college anymore where you used to play in 12 games. You get that break before the bowl game. It's a week-in, week-out grind. Are you mentally prepared for what's to come?
Yes. I feel I'm definitely mentally prepared for it. I've always been I mentally do, you know, just going into the aspects of knowing that, you know, if I can do it in my mind, you know, my body will take me wherever I needed to go. So, you know, I'm really prepared, you know, physically and mentally, you know, just trying to get started.
What, if anything, caught you by surprise? Guys always talk about the speed of the game, that everybody's fast out there. Was there one thing that stood out to you and said, wow, this is something I'm going to have to get adjusted to, or maybe I'm better at this than I thought I would be compared to my peers? What's something that maybe surprised you over the course of the summer?
What really surprised me, you know, in my opinion, I always thought, you know, I'm a good route runner naturally, but just working with Jerry Sullivan, you know.
He doesn't think anyone's a good route
runner. Yeah, until he teach you how to run routes the way he want them, you're not a good route runner. But, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing to work with that guy. He's been in the game a long time, and I'm just ready to get all the knowledge I can from him.
It's a great spot for you because arguably people will put him among the best wide receiver coaches in football, period, at any level. And that's almost a direct quote. He's told me that before. He goes, I don't care who coached him before. They haven't been coached by me yet. So you've probably heard that from Coach Sullivan.
Exactly. And I definitely see it.
Is it fun for you to come in here as we talk here with Rashad Green? You've got three second-year guys who are really at the top of that depth chart. So all of you come in, you got a young quarterback, young nucleus on offense together. You just excited about the chance to really get in on kind of the ground floor of what's happening here in Jacksonville?
I'm definitely excited to go out and compete, and not only compete to play, but just to compete to get my teammates better. You know, all of us, you know, we're a great group of guys, and we want to see each other grow and develop as receivers. So, and that's something I feel like is very rare, you know, in a NFL offense, you know, guys that really want to see each other get better and work together to do that.
No jealousies, right? Everybody's supporting everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
At least everyone's saying the right things right now, right?
Yeah.
Rashad Green, who you caught 99 balls last year. Somehow you found some time to return 15 punts. You did 20 the year before that, and I get a lot of questions about that. I'm sure you do as well. Where you think you'll stand, how you think you'll fare. Are you excited about an opportunity to at least compete for the punt return position?
Most definitely. Coming in, the coaching staff definitely wanted me to, you know, compete for the job, and I'm willing to. You know, it's a way to be on the field, a way to have fun. So, you know, I'm going to do my best to get better at, you know, returning punts and, you know, just trying to compete for that job and help the team out.
What's the most important trait you've got to have as a punt returner?
You got to be able to catch the ball first. So that's definitely the number one trait, and just tracking the ball. You know, you have great kickers out there who have a lot of hang time, can put the ball where they want it to be. So you got to do a good job reading the nose or the tail end of that ball and knowing where it's going
to
land.
You read the ball. It's tough enough just to do that. Then you've got 60,000 people screaming at you. You've got 11 guys coming down with bad intentions trying to hurt you. I would think bravery is a big aspect because you're looking up, man, and do you have to have that kind of double vision, that peripheral vision where you're watching the ball, but you have to kind of see out of the corner of your eye at the same time what's happening around you?
You know, I feel like it's all timing as well. You know, you got to be able to, you know, time the speed of the gunners and the guys that's coming down, you know, towards you and, you know, be able to time the ball and knowing when it's going to hit. And that's based off, you know, if the tail end is coming down, you know the ball is coming down pretty fast. And if it's, you know, hanging in the air, it might come down a little slower. So you might want to get your hands ready to fair catch. But, you know, after that, once you get the ball in your hand, I feel like it's all athleticism and
instinct,
you know,
right?
Yeah, just going out there and make a play.
Just play. That's the basic. When you start playing football, the first thing you ever did when you were a kid, right? Somebody got the ball and everybody chased him, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you do when you're little kids, right? And that's kind of punt returning, right? Like, I got it. We'll see if I can avoid all these other guys. As a receiver, you go from being the primary focus of the Florida State passing offense now to where you're going to have to kind of to fit in and, you know, earn your reps and earn your spot. And is that, I mean, I'm sure that's something you expected coming into the National Football League. Was that an adjustment you have to make mentally?
Most definitely, you know, and it's nothing new to me to, you know, come into any type of situation, you know, not being that, you know, that guy that, everyone wants to count on. So it was just as same as Florida State.
You had to build yourself.
Yeah, you had to build yourself to that point. And it's all a mentality and a grind and, you know, a want to. So, you know, I want to go out there and get better. I want to go out there and compete for a job and, you know, just try to play as much as possible and just get better. And, you know, I feel like if you put the work in, the time, the effort, it'll all pay off.
Is it nice to have Telvin Smith here, a guy you won a championship with as a teammate in college, and just you know, a familiar face to kind of help you ease your transition a little bit?
Most definitely. It's always good to have a guy like Telvin around just to, you know, to keep that spark up. You know, going against defensive guys, you know, I look forward to, you know, continuously going against him and, you know, just being around him, you know, because he's definitely a guy that has a lot of passion for the game, and, you know, I just like being around that guy.
All right, you played obviously with Jameis Winston the last couple of years in college and was regarded as one of the best that's come down the line in a while. Now you're going to play with Blake Bortles. You've only seen him throughout the course of several OTAs and mini camps, but what has stood out to you about Blake when you're looking for traits that make successful quarterbacks? You played with some good ones before. What is it that jumps at you about Blake that makes you think he can be the guy this team needs?
Just his intelligence, you know, the game. You know, you definitely, as a quarterback, you want a guy that studies, put in the time, understand what he's doing, you know, because that's just like another coach on the field. So if anything goes wrong, he's in control, and he has that ability to, you know, tell guys what's going on if they're not sure, you know, which I feel like we won't have that case. But, you know, just a strong-minded guy and, you know, has the ability to be great. So, you know, that's the first thing that stood out to me about him is his intelligence and his ability to work.
You haven't played with him in anything meaningful yet, but I think one of the big factors for a quarterback is having that certain it factor where guys want to follow you, right? Like they believe you're the guy that can get them. Do you get that sense off of Blake that he's that type of quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I feel like he's a guy that you're going to follow behind him because of his actions. He's not a big, you know, vocal guy. But he has that ability and that trait to, you know, be great.
When you came in your first rookie minicamp, you were nervous, weren't you? First day or so?
Yeah. It was definitely new, but it was a type of nervousness where, you know, you just want to do good. You want to, you know, impress the coaches and, you know, just go out there and do your best. And, you know, once you get your feet up under the ground, then it's all football after that.
You feel like you're at that point now. Like, you've gone through kind of that little bit of that transition. Everything's new. It's, you know, first training camp, first preseason games. But at this point, you're at 2 days from now. Are we going to see a different Rashad Green or a more relaxed Rashad Green, I guess?
Yeah, a more relaxed guy, you know, just laying it all out there, you know, just trying to earn the respect of my teammates and my coaches.
All right, well, you know, I'm not going to put the onus on you to tell us how good this team can be. You just got here, okay?
Yeah.
But we're hopeful, man. We're expecting good things, and we're hoping for good things out of you guys. And like I said, I think it's cool for you and a lot of these guys who come in just the last couple of years into the league to have such a young nucleus that has a chance to grow together. Tell us something about you maybe a typical fan might not know. What do you like to do? Give us something about your personality or your likes and interests that maybe people don't know.
I'm definitely a laid-back guy. You know, a lot of my teammates see that as well. You know, I'm very, you know, soft-spoken. I don't say much. But, you know, getting comfortable with the guys and being able to open up a little more. But, you know, I'm very, you know, relaxed. And one thing, well, some fans might know, but I definitely like to cook. So
you do?
Yeah.
What's your go-to dish? What's your signature dish?
I like to eat too, so I really don't have a signature dish. I just like to get in the kitchen and just
go,
you know, create some stuff. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
All right, a little sign life for Rashad Green and for a guy who's very chill, low-key personality. How do you end up a wide receiver? I thought it was the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I thought you had to be pumping your fist and banging your chest. Isn't that what wide receivers do these days?
Not all of them. Not all of them.
All right, man. Well, listen, we look forward to seeing you out there, not just in a couple of days, but, you know, really getting off to a nice start to your career. As many guys have come through here, we always tell them, doesn't matter where you're picked, right? When you're in, now you got the opportunity to go out and make the most of it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Hey, Rashad, good to see you, man, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there in uniform in a couple of days.
All right, good to see you as well. Take care.
All right, there he goes, folks. Rashad of your Jacksonville Jaguars, fifth-round draft pick out of Florida State University, hoping to make his mark in his rookie season here as a receiver and a punt returner perhaps as well. And if he is able to win that punt return job, obviously that will give the Jags a little bit more flexibility on how they stack that roster together heading into the 2015 season. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us, folks. Same-day service with Metro Rooter. Weekends included. The right people with the right equipment serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com. In fact, Metro Rooter is at my house. I'm losing track of the days. Just in the last 5 days, I had somebody, the previous residents, they may be listening for all I know. Kind of did a little creative plumbing under the kitchen sink, and it's coming home to roost on me right now. But fortunately, I've got people that I can trust and rely on in Metro Rooter to come in, get the job done right the first time. And that's what they do for me. MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for our Wednesday sponsor here on Jaguars Today, our friends at Metro Rooter. All right, coming up next, we ask you today in the Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, what about week three? All right. The question of the day, would you expect the Jaguars to beat the Patriots? Not hope, not wish, expect them to beat the Patriots if they're without Tom Brady for the week three matchup up in Foxborough. We'll get to your reaction to that. Coming up next in the Fan Feedback Spotlight, Mike Dempsey here with you live at Everbank on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Tyler had to listen to me singing Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons with Joe Fortunato on the break there. That was really good, too, let me tell you what. Fortunato, I can't believe Fortunato's never seen Jersey Boys. That movie is right up his alley. So I've given him a homework assignment like I used to give Hacker. But I have more confidence that Joe will actually complete his assignment. Once we gave Hacker the assignment to watch The Godfather and he gave up after 20 minutes, and we just gave up on Hacker at that point in time. All right, today, Fan Feedback Spotlight, we ask you, come week three, if Brady's not suiting up, do you expect the Jags to win? Not hope, not wish, not, we got a good chance. Do you expect them to win that game? Because I do think the dynamic changes, right? If Brady, let's say the suspension gets upheld. Let's just assume right now that Tom Brady doesn't play against the Jacksonville Jaguars in week three. That goes from a game that nobody really expects you to win. They hope, maybe the most diehard, fervent people that keep tweeting me they're going 12-4, expect you to win that game, but not many people realistically think you're going to go, hey, look, if you win it, fantastic. Doesn't mean we're not going to go and compete and try to win, but realistically, as an outside observer, you wouldn't expect it. Whereas Brady doesn't play, let's say you're 1-2, and maybe you beat Carolina, you lose to Miami, or vice versa, and you're thinking, wow, you know what, we can get one we didn't expect to win before, but now we do, and you lose that game. And it just changes potentially the entire narrative of the early part of the season. You know, Jags can't even beat a team with a guy who's only started a couple games in the National Football League. Well, you know, Blake Bortles only started 13 games, and he's working with a collection of guys around him who didn't win the Super Bowl last year. So it's still a case where they're not going to be favored by the boys in Vegas to win that game, but we're asking you today what you would personally feel. And Duval Doom, apparently his caps lock key was broke, but he was screaming at me. He said, hell yes! It's almost football season, Mikey. Brady, no Brady. We're going to beat them all. Hashtag Jaguars. Hashtag Duval till we die. Doom, I hope to see you out there on Friday. I don't know if Doom's getting the workday off, but I'll see you out there this weekend. Regardless, Jimbo, at Jimbo Rad said, until the Jags show they're capable of beating anybody early in the season, I'm saying no. Isaiah says it depends on injuries, but no, I wouldn't expect it. Terrence, not a pessimist today. Terrence tweeting me says, you know it. Yes, you know it. All right, so I'll take that. Terrence says a yes. Let's see. Daniel Stewart said, I wouldn't expect him to win, but I believe there's a chance with a Brady-less Pats team. Cristiano down in Brazil says, without Mr. Bunchen, any given Sunday, hashtag Jaguars today. Stevie Howell, an Irish Jag, can a Jaguars fan ever, quote, expect to win? Black Dog Express, the Patriots are going to be toast. Now I'm thinking about going to Foxborough with the Bold City Brigade. Hashtag licking my chops. Hashtag Jaguars today. We should all be thinking about that. Christoph said, yes, nothing's better than winning a bet against your best friend. And apparently he's putting his money where his mouth is on that one. Let me head over to Facebook. Got a lot more Twitter replies as well, but some of the same replies on Facebook. Damon says, I expect the Jags to win with or without Tom Brady. Of course, Damon's one of these 10-6, 11-5 guys. Every time. And hey, you know what? Maybe he's right. He says Tom Brady's just one man, not a whole team. We're better equipped to handle a team like the Patriots or whoever. This team overall is way more talented than the past. All right, but you're taking on the team that was talented enough to win the Super Bowl last year. Peter Maross says, with or without him, after week four, everyone will only talk about how the Jags went from three wins in 2014 to start 4-0. Go Jags. Tommy Blair says, I'm calling it. The Barrascuda gets a pick six on Brady to win the game in the waning seconds. So he thinks Brady's going to play. And Dan Scuda, have we heard that nickname yet for him?
I like
Tyler?
It.
I like the Barrascuda, right? I mean, I could easily see it getting worn out if you try to go do it too much, but I could see some T-shirts featuring Dan Scuda as the Barrascuda on there. It wouldn't be bad. Kenneth Wayne said, I have high expectations to win a lot of games this year. To me, this should be looked at as another game that the new and hopefully improved Jaguars should win. If they don't have dramatic improvement in the win column this season, it'll be my last time to buy season tickets. We've lived for too many years of false hope. Make it real this year, and we'll wrap up with this one. Steve Muncy, yes, absolutely. Without Brady, the Patriot offense is stagnant with no running game. Well, don't sleep on LeGarrette Blount, and they always seem to cobble together some kind of running game up there. Look, it's going to be tough regardless, but the prospect of playing the Patriots without Tom Brady all of a sudden got a lot more real yesterday with the revelation about the cell phone destruction and the NFL not being wishy-washy in the least bit. I mean, very pointed in their belief that they are on the right side. Now, look, that's what lawyers do, right, on both sides. We're hearing on Brady's side, the NFL has zero case, zero evidence, zero nothing. There's nothing there. The NFL says it has overwhelming evidence, and that's why this thing's headed to some kind of an appeal, ultimately. Thanks to Metro Rooter for sponsoring the show every Wednesday. Glad to have those folks on board. Glad to have you out there listening. Most importantly, good luck to Fat Tony. Has a day off going to the doctors, and will be back with us tomorrow. And thanks to Aaron Wilson, now with the Baltimore Sun, soon to be the Houston Chronicle, talking a little Ravens football and the Deflategate story. Thanks to Rashad Green for popping in with us just a few minutes ago here on Jaguars Today as well. 2 days away, folks. It is marching. It'll be here before you know it. And in 2 days, we'll be out there 46 hours from now. We'll see you out there at the Florida Blue practice field. Fat Tony and myself broadcasting Jaguars Today live from the first training camp practice of 2015. That does it for us here at EverBank. For Joe Fortunato, for Tyler Devitt, for Fat Tony, and all of our guests today, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up next, so stick around. You're listening to 1010 XL 92.5 FM.